I want us to open our Bibles together, please, in the book of 2 Timothy and the chapter number 4. And Paul gives a charge to Timothy in this passage of God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Amen. A few moments, I just want us to review the year that has passed, and we think indeed of the opportunities that God has given us Sunday by Sunday in God's house, and we want to thank you for your faithful attendance at God's house and for your encouragement in the work of God. We thank God for the support that you've given to Brother McKay and myself as we have sought to preach the Word of God and present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We started the year as a time at the end of January and the month of February, a time of prayer, seeking God's blessing upon the labors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because except the Lord build the house, then they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, then the watchman waketh but in vain. Then God give us in the month of February the gospel opportunity in Lima Valley to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ there. And we thank God for the privilege of ministering the word of God in that gospel campaign down there in Lima Valley. In the month of March, we had the Reverend Cranston, and we thank God for the precious time we had with the Reverend Cranston and his wife Doreen, and for the privilege that we had with them of just listening to God's precious word and how God spoke to our hearts as we sat at the feet of Jesus night after night, like Mary just sitting at his feet and hearing his precious word to our hearts. Then in the month of April, God gave me the opportunity to go to the land of Philippines and there to join our brother Noel Stevenson and be with us next Lord's Day morning in our service here. But God gave us the opportunity to go out and help him and to be encouragement to him. And we thank God for the privilege of having the opportunity. And certainly what a time we had. And many hearts and lives were turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And many dedicated their lives to the service of the Master as well. And thank God for those who came to Christ there in the land of the Philippines. At the opportunity of preaching God's word at the Easter Convention when I came back in the month of April. And what a blessed time we had, an opportunity just to present the simple old-fashioned word of God in a very clear and very simple fashion. But I believe that God was calling us back to the old paths and to the old ways. And I believe that that is certainly what we must never depart from. In the month of June, we had the opportunity of going to Singapore and joining our brother Ferguson, Dr. Ferguson, out there, and also to Malaysia to a conference there. And we had a great opportunity to speak to many folks there and encourage them in that as we studied the life of Joseph. And we had the opportunity of studying and understanding just what Joseph went through in his service for Christ and how like the Savior he was. And he took a stand for his God and for his Master. Then when we came back from Singapore, we had a gospel mission, 2 weeks gospel mission in Portadown. And we thank God for the opportunity there in that tent there in Portadown, the anniversary, their anniversary services. And we had in that gospel mission a real deep sense of the Lord's presence. And the Lord brought the people together of that congregation in that district. And thank God for precious souls that were led to Christ as well. And we had the joy of seeing those that came to Christ and press on and upward with the Lord. And I believe it was a tremendous encouragement to the people of God there in Portadown in our Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, but it was in the tent that we had those special meetings. Then, of course, we reached out, not only here, but as we have noticed in different places, the Philippines and also Singapore and Malaysia, to Orlando, and God gave us the opportunity to go there and in our time of vacation to take, because of the vacancy that was left with our brother Erwin, to go out and pastor that little flock there. And our brother, of course, followed in the month of September to do likewise. He ran into a big hurricane, and it was something different. I didn't experience it. And certainly we thank God for his hand upon the people in the congregation there. And we'd like you to pray for them as they haven't their pastor anymore in that Orlando congregation. But we thank God for those 3 weeks of the opportunity just of being with them and had the opportunity of preaching the word of God to them. We came back, we went straight into the conference there in the convention in Highley over in England. And we thank God for a deep sense of the Lord's presence and the work of God that the Lord did. I remember one night after the service was over, one of the preachers that were there, one of the pastors that was there in the congregation, he came to me after the meeting, and he had the joy of telling me, he said, you know, God really spoke to my son tonight, and I had the joy of leading my son to Christ. And there in that hotel in Highley, he led his son to Jesus Christ after that meeting. God really spoke to his heart and challenged him, and we thank God he got gloriously, wonderfully saved. Then in September, we went to Newton Ards for the mission there in Newton Ards, and we thank God for the presence of the Lord with our good brother in Christ down there in Newton Ards, and we bless God for our brother Johnson and his faithful stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in October, we went to Londonderry for the 2 weeks of gospel mission in Londonderry. And we thank God for the presence of the Lord and what God did even through that mission. And we thank God for the one who came back to the Lord. And I believe that others were concerned, and some took booklets concerning God's way of salvation. They wanted personally to take it home. And we pray that God has blessed that word to their hearts. And then, of course, the end of November and into December, we went to Convoy. And there we had the opportunity going into the Irish Republic and having the opportunity of preaching God's precious word in Convoy. So therefore, we'd ask you to pray that as God continues in these different places, that God will indeed use his word and be an encouragement and blessing to them. On Wednesday week, we go to Singapore and New Zealand to take convention meetings there, and we pray that God will help us to be faithful in the preaching of God's precious word there in the will of the Lord as we would seek to go and serve the Savior. Then, as I mentioned this morning, we have the beginning of February, we have a week of prayer, because once again, we want to lay that before the Lord and really seek God's face for his blessing in that. We have our 40th anniversary in the month of April, the 29th of April. 40 years ago, this church was opened for the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This building was opened for the preaching of the gospel. We sojourned in the tent, first of all. We then moved to a little, or rather, first of all, the tent, and then we moved to a wooden hall, and then we moved to the tin tabernacle, and then into this building. And we thank God for all of those journeyings which the Lord has led and guided even all of that time. And then, of course, remember later on, as we would go to take the convention meetings over in Singapore in June, that God will help us there in those meetings there. And also remember the mission in September, the anniversary mission, 50 years ago on the top of that hill. The first mission was 50 years ago that God gave us the opportunity of preaching. It was in an army reject tent, and there were, whenever the rain was on, you had to put the umbrella up inside whenever it got really, really heavy raining. But thank God for the blessing of God was there. And we had our prayer meetings. They were just simply out in the field. There was no other place to be, just out in the field for our prayer time. But God undertook and God blessed in a wonderful way. And so the anniversary mission will be in September in the will of God. The anniversary dinner will be on the 9th of October, 50 years, celebrating 50 years of the congregation. And then, of course, we do thank God for all of those years, because it's in October the work of God started here. And so therefore, we'd ask you to please help us. Now, one little request before we turn to God's word that I want to make, and that is, we desire that whenever we have the mission, And Brother McKee and I, we've talked about this. We desired to have a display of some of the old photographs of all the congregation way back from the early days, and just take a walk around memory lane, and the display to be out there in the complex, and let people go and see just exactly where the Lord has brought us from and where the Lord has brought us to. Now, if there anyone has any old photographs over the past, and it might shock us whenever we look at them, but nevertheless, that's what happens when life passes. But any old photographs of the past years, right from the very beginning of the church, you can put them. We'll have envelopes out in the hallway for you. Put them into your envelope, put your name and address, and we'll take copy of it, and then you'll get them straight back. And therefore, we want to prepare for this, because we want to make preparation, not a last-minute job. We want to do it in good time for that, in the celebrating of 50 years that God has given to us. I was thinking this week of the Apostle Paul, and I was thinking of the words that were said to young Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. Paul said this: I have fought a good fight. He said, I've finished my course and I've kept the faith. And friend, there's one desire more than anything else that I have, and that is to finish well. I pray that God will allow this congregation to go on with him. You know, Paul finished well, even though he was chained. He was chained in a Roman prison, and he was waiting for imminent execution. And yet we find that as he looks back over his life, he doesn't sit down in regret. He doesn't start to pout about some of the battles that he has had to face. No, he said this. He says, I have fought a good fight. And you know, whenever we think about the fighting a good fight, there's a conflict. To strive earnestly, to contend with adversity, to contend for victory, to wrestle, to exert oneself to struggle, being faithful in the ministry. And yet we find that he did it. He said, I have fought ceaselessly. He said, I have fought strenuously. Yes, there's been a conflict. But he called it, he said, I've fought a good fight. The word there, noble. It was an honorable struggle. Now, there are struggles and there are fights that are not worthy to be fought, friend. And sometimes we get caught so much in them. But Paul was able to say, listen, the battle that I was in, Paul said it was a good one. It was a good fight. And you know, J.C. Ryle said this: let us settle it on our minds that the Christian fight is a good fight. Really, truly, emphatically good. We see only part of it yet. We see the struggle, but not the end. We see the campaign, but not the reward. We see the cross, but not the crown. We see a few humble, broken spirits, praying people, enduring hardship, despised by the world. But we see not the hand of God over them, the face of God smiling on them, the kingdom of glory prepared for them. These things are yet to be revealed. Let us not judge by appearance. There are more good things about the Christian warfare than what we see. He said, I have fought a good fight. And then he said this, he said, I've finished. I've finished the course. And the word there means to come to the end of the journey. He said, I've come to the end of my race. I've run the full distance to accomplish, to complete something. You know, staying around for a long time should not be our primary goal in life. To come to the end of the race well, that's what it should be about. Even if some have started late, even if some have been running slow and maybe faltered by the way, the secret is to keep true to Jesus to the end. I have fought a good fight. This is what he said. And you know, our lives, he said, I've finished the course. Our lives are represented as a course, a race that is to be run. And the question I ask is this: are we running it well? The race set before us, the race that God has set before us. You know, some start out on the race course but get diverted from the track that God sets them on. But straying off course will lose valuable time. Do you remember what it said in the book of Galatians chapter 5 as Paul was writing to the Galatian church? He says, ye did run well. But who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? They were hindered in the race. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. And then he said, I've kept the faith. And the word there, kept, describes the action of keeping one's eye upon something or someone so as to watch it, and conveys the idea of protecting it as a result of guarding it. He said, I've guarded the faith. And friend, we live in an awful day of apostasy. And God has called upon us in our day and generation to guard the faith. To do what we can to take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that Paul comes to the end of his journey and he says this. He had no regrets about the past. Now no sighs about what might have been. No longing, lingering, looking behind. As a warrior, his warfare was well waged. As a racer, his course was well run. As a guardian of the faith, he had kept his treasure to the end. Not a wonderful thing to be able to say at the end of the journey. Let me tell you, friend, you see that chapter? I want you to look at something else. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He says, I have finished the course. He says, I kept the faith. But go down to verse 10. And he said this, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, Demas started out well. And for a time, Demas run well. He was a young man. He had a promising future. But he fell along the road. He quit in the day of testing. I have no doubt whatsoever that Demas expected to finish the course. I have no doubt that when Demas started, he intended to stand firm for the Lord. He didn't intend to desert Paul when the battle got tough. But friend, he did. He did. And there's a warning here. Because on the one hand, Paul finished the course. And he fought the good fight and he kept the faith. But Demas didn't. Demas stopped along the way. I want to say to you tonight, there are three simple little things I want you to remember that I believe that you and I need to do as we look into 2018 to keep faithful to the Lord. And that, first of all, is this. Keep in close communion with God. Keep in close communion with God. Paul said that I have fought a good fight. And I finished the course, and I kept the faith. But I want to tell you, friend, he wasn't attributing glory to himself. I know he said, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. But he was not giving us the secret was himself. No, the secret of Paul's life was this, and all of that was what I talked about this morning, the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, this is what Paul said. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It was the grace of God that kept him going. It was not in his own strength, because let me tell you, Paul acknowledges it was the grace of God that helped him to endure to the end. He was empowered by the Spirit of God to live a life of victory. What Paul is saying is this, divine grace has made me what I am. And friend, that's the testimony of every child of God. Because there's nothing of ourselves. You know, Paul looked back over his life and he said this. He said, I was a blasphemer. He said, I was a persecutor. He says, I was injurious. You'll find that in the first chapter of the book of 1 Timothy. Or 1 Timothy, chapter 1. He was injurious. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. But friend, God changed that. But had God not given grace to change and the grace of God not to be manifest in his life, let me tell you, Paul would have continued in his own way. But grace took a man zealous to persecute Christ. And the grace of God made him zealous to preach Christ. Isn't that great? That's what the grace of God can do. You see, friends, starting well is not enough. We must keep pressing on. We must keep going. And to do that, we must have a daily communion with Christ. Demas didn't decide one morning to turn away. You know what he did? He drifted away. The pull of the world. And little by little, he drifted away. The attractiveness of the world. And friend, if we do not have daily communion with God, we will find ourselves drifting away. Now, Demas is mentioned three times in the Bible. First of all, in Philemon 1:24, it says, Demas, my fellow laborer. He's my fellow laborer. And then the second time, we have Colossians 4, verse 14. And it's just simply this, Demas. And then the third time is in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And then, do you know what happened after that? He's never mentioned again. He lost his testimony. What a tragedy. I have no doubt whatsoever that broke Paul's heart. The seductive system of the world pressed upon him. And Demas couldn't resist the attraction of the age in which he lived. Let me say this to you tonight, and to my heart too. This world is not your friend. The Word of God says this, love not the world. The Word of God says, be not conformed to the world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And friend, that is what is happening much today in the Church of Jesus Christ. People, it's not that the world is getting more churchy. It's the church is getting more worldly. And the world's creeping in. And this church is not averse to it. My friend, we can't stand here tonight or sit in God's house and say, listen, we are completely different than everyone else. No, the world is creeping in, and worldliness is creeping in, and the attractiveness of the world, to be like the world, to mimic the world. The Word of God says this, love not the world. In the Psalms, David said this, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Friend, the beauty of the Lord is not a physical beauty. It's the beauty of his attributes. It's the beauty of his holiness. It's the beauty of his cross. It's the beauty of his presence. And you and I need to spend time in communion with him. Secondly, we need to make a clear consecration to him. It says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Friend, we are to make a decisive dedication of our bodies, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are to consecrate our entire being, not only ourselves, but all we have to the Lord. Presenting our bodies means give over to or put at another's disposal. to present, to yield, to relinquish your grip. Dr. F.B. Myers said this. He said, in his early life, it was marred and his ministry paralyzed because he kept one key from the bunch of keys he had given to the Lord. Every key, he said, I give to God, save one. One room was kept for my personal use. He said the effects of this incomplete consecration were found in lack of power, lack of assurance, and lack of joy and peace. Judson, the great missionary in Burma, said, the motto of every missionary, whether preacher, printer, or schoolmaster, ought to be devoted for life. Phillips Brooks said, it does not take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men. General William Booth was asked why his ministry had been so successful, and he answered this: God has had all there was of me to have. Friend, are we holding back from God? Is there some room in your life that you've never yielded up? You've never surrendered to the Lord. Listen, we cannot live today on yesterday's commitments. We've got to live today yielded to the Lord. A minister was asked once, will you please tell me in a few words what your idea of consecration is? And holding out a blank sheet of paper, the pastor replied, it is to sign your name at the bottom of this blank sheet and let God fill it as he will. Are you willing to do that? Am I willing to do that tonight? To take the blank sheet of paper as we start 2018 and hand that blank sheet of paper over to God and say, God, as you want to fill in the paper, here's my name at the bottom. I surrender all. You never know the delights of his love until all on the altar. I finish tonight. Have a constant confidence in God. I don't know what 2018 will hold. I don't know what it'll hold for me. I don't know what it'll hold for you. But if you and I want to keep going through every circumstance of life, you'll need this firm conviction, friend, in the sovereignty of God, that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, for some, this past year has held pain. For some, it has held sorrow. Friend, the blank piece of paper, are you willing to go through with God? Am I? Are we willing to put our name at the bottom of the paper and say, Lord, whatever you will, whatever your will is, in everything the Bible says, in everything give thanks. Then it says this, for this is the will of God. You note that? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Life's not easy. There are not only the days of sunshine, there's the days of sorrow and darkness. But I tell you this, friend, there's not a promise in this book that God will not fulfill. He says, I'm with you always, even unto the end. And so, we've stepped into a new year. Praise God, he will never take away nor fail his promise. He says, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forget what my mother said to me when I came home. My dad had died. They'd been together for 46 years. And then in a few moments, my dad was gone. I remember what she said to me. She said, son, I cried out to your daddy, Bob, don't leave me, don't leave me. But he did. But she said, I could hear a voice speaking clearly in my heart. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So friends, if you're saved, go into this year. You've taken your first steps in it, in God's house. Whatever it holds, go into it with a constant confidence in God, that that which he hath begun, he will perform. He'll finish it to the day of Christ. We have a great Savior. And so I say to you, remember the three thoughts tonight, very simply, as God has helped me bring them. Keep in close communion with God. Make a clear consecration to God. And have a constant confidence in God. For he cannot fail. If you're not saved tonight, friend, don't take another step. Don't take another step without him. Let's just bow our heads. And in the quietness and the stillness of God's house, child of God, will you rededicate your life to Christ tonight? Will you consecrate everything to him? Give him the last key. Let him open every door of your house. Let him have it all. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And dear unsaved, as your head's bowed before God, would you ask God to save you? Take your place as a sinner. Acknowledge your sin before God and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, to be your Savior, to cleanse you by his precious blood from your sin. And thank God he says, he promises, I will come in. And he will. Thank him for doing that. Lord, bless your word to our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We're turning to hymn 472 as we finish our service tonight. I take the opportunity on behalf of Brother McKee, myself, my wife, and the congregation, the elders of the congregation here, to wish you a blessed, a happy new year. May God make it a great one for the glory of his name. Let's stand to sing. My times are in my hands. 472. Thank you. stand to sing.
My
tonight, my times are in thy hands, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. My times are in thy hands, I always trust in thee, and after death at thy right hand, I shall forever be. May God grant that we never meet again this side of heaven, friend, for death could take any one of us at any moment. Be sure, I beg you, be sure that we meet in heaven, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with us not only this night, but every night that falls and morning that breaks, until the day breaks and the shadows of earth have fled away, and we gather in the Father's house, safely home, forever with the Lord. In Jesus' name.